This is John Finnemore's souvenir programme.
Daddy, do you know something?
Lots of things.
All of the girls in my class, do you know what they want to be when they grow up?
No.
They all want to be something really, really lame, like a stupid mermaid or a stupid princess.
Oh, yes.
But, Daddy, do you know what I want to be when I grow up?
Quiet.
No. I want to be a police dog handler.
Do you?
Yes, I really do, because I like helping people and I like having adventures and I really, really like doggies. So, when I grow up, I'm going to be a police dog handler and I'm going to have my own police dog and his name is going to be either Rusty or Sparky.
Well, that's lovely, Charlotte, but...
What?
Well, I don't want to be the one to spoil your dreams, but you might have to be a bit more realistic. You can't be a police dog handler when you grow up.
Well, why not?
Because when you grow up, Charlotte, you're going to be a princess. And princesses aren't allowed to be police officers.
Why not?
Because it's not fair on a Secret Service detail. You have to twist their bloody arm to let you be in the army.
Well, Daddy, why do I have to be a princess?
Because... God said so.
Did he? Really?
No, not really, but that's what we say. So I'm sorry, Charlotte, but I think it's better you know now. Not everyone gets to follow their dreams. Some people have to be princesses. Now, come on, it's time to go and put on your prettiest dress.
Oh, I don't want to. Why do I have to?
Because there's a huge party at the palace tonight given especially for you.
I hate those parties.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. We all have to do things we don't want to do.
You don't?
I do. I'll tell you a secret. I hate those parties too. And so does your great-granny.
What about Grandad?
He quite likes them. I'm just sick of being broke, you know?
Yeah.
I've really been watching my budget recently. No big nights out. I don't even take the bus if I can help it. Nothing seems to help.
OK, so what are your big expenses?
Well, you know, the usual. Rent, food, towels, travel...
Sorry. Towels?
Yeah?
It seems an unusually high place to put towels in that list.
No, you're right. Yeah, travel's probably higher.
Yeah, right, but, I mean, towels is still a significant expense for you, is it?
Of course. I mean, I buy the cheapest I can find, obviously, but still.
And how much is that?
About £6 in Primark.
Oh, OK.
Still, £6 a day, it all mounts up.
Oh, wait, hang on. A day? Why are you buying towels every day?
No, I don't. I buy a set at the start of the week.
And no, I mean... What do you do with them all?
Dry myself.
And then what?
Throw them away, of course.
You can wash towels.
Wash them?
Yes!
How?
In a washing machine, the same way you wash your clothes. Oh, God. You do wash your clothes, don't you?
Of course I do, but towels are so big. There wouldn't be room for anything else.
So do them on their own.
Oh. Seriously, does everyone else wash their towels?
Yeah. How have you gone this long without knowing that?
I don't know. I just learned from my parents, I suppose. My parents got new towels every week. Obviously, I assumed everyone did.
Really? Did they?
Yes.
Explain what happened.
Well, Mrs. Dennis down the road picked up the washing and the used towels every Monday, and every Wednesday she brought back the clean laundry along with a fresh new pack of... Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel such an idiot. Of course, they're the sort of thing you wash and use again, like clothes or dishes. And all this time I've been assuming they were the sort of thing you use once and throw away, like tissues or bed linen. Oh, wait!
What line are you in?
Well, I'm a sort of composer, actually.
Really? Well, music and that?
Yes.
Well, don't think I've ever met a composer before. What, symphonies and stuff, is it?
No, not really. I write scores for TV shows, sometimes video games.
Oh, yeah? Anything I've heard of?
No.
Ski Sunday. That's a good one. That one of yours?
No.
Love that one. Who did that, then?
I think J.S. Bach.
Oh, yeah? But you wish you had his money?
Yeah.
I came up with a tune the other day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it stuck in my head for days.
How'd it go?
Well, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Da 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 da. That was it. You can have that one if you like.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, I say have it. I mean, obviously, if it goes huge, we split the profits 50-50.
I actually think I may have heard it before.
You bloody haven't, mate. I made it up.
Right.
And this, you're calling me a liar?
No.
All right. Yeah, just woke up with it in my head one morning. Da 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 da. I mean, obviously, it needs, you know, words, but I don't know. Let's all go down to the seaside. Well, you know, something romantic. Bloody hell, darling, you're gorgeous. Which do you like?
They're both very good.
Yeah, no, they are, yeah. Well, we can, you know, try them both. Listen here, look, here's my card. You work something up for me, and then give me a bill, and if I like it, we can go from there.
Great, thank you, will do.
Yeah, nice one. But seriously, though, mate, don't screw me over on this, right? If I hear that tune somewhere else and you've not been in touch, I'm coming looking for you, OK?
Understood.
What's your name?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right, well, nice meeting you, Andy. Be lucky.
There we are.
Dad, should we put another sign lower down so kids will see it too?
Yeah, that's a good thought. I tell you what, we'll do that on the next post down, OK?
OK.
Don't worry, someone will have seen him.
Underground, overground.
Oh, Dad, look! Wombles!
We're very lucky. You don't often see wombles.
Should we ask them if they've seen Buddy?
No, better not. They're very shy.
Making good use of the things that we find.
Dad, wombles are herbivores, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they eat fir cones and acorns and elm bark and things. Why?
Well, it's just funny, because in biology, we were learning about how herbivores usually have eyes on the sides of their heads, like cows and rabbits, so they can see danger coming. And predators tend to have eyes on the front of their heads, so they can focus on prey, like tigers and wolves. And look, the womble's eyes are on the front of their heads.
Yes, I will. Oh, well, wombles must be the exception. Now, come on, let's get the rest of these signs up. Buddy must be somewhere.
Making good use of the things that we find.
We only left him outside the shop for a couple of minutes.
Things that the everyday folk leave behind.
Now, the funny thing is, all sorts of people have tried and none of them could do it.
Couldn't they?
No, not one of them. Not a single one. They all thought they could do it. None of them could. Huh. I include myself, you know. I couldn't do it.
Couldn't you?
No. I tried mine. I was the first to try. I looked at it and I thought, oh, I ought to be able to do that. And I gave it a shot and I couldn't do it. Then, of course, Gracie sees me trying. She says, give it here, well, I'll do it.
But she couldn't do it.
Well, she takes it off me.
Yeah.
She has a look.
Yeah. She tries, but
yeah,
she...
Yeah, she tries, but...
She couldn't do it?
She couldn't do it.
Well, I never. What a twist.
So we showed it to Jim and Glynnis.
Oh, God, did you?
Yeah. You remember Jim and Glynnis?
No.
You do. He's all over freckles. She's got her leg.
Right, but they couldn't do it?
No, they couldn't do it. No, I never thought they'd be able to do it.
Right.
Of course, they had to have a try.
Did they?
Yeah. First... Jim tried.
Right, but he couldn't do it.
He couldn't do it. Then, Glynnis tried.
Right, she couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it.
There we are then, that's that.
Oh, well, no. Because they've got this son, you see, Max.
And could he do it?
See, this is the sort of thing he is really good at.
I expect he could do it then.
Yeah, well, you would think so.
Oh, is there some sort of surprise ending to this story?
There is, as it happens.
Is it the one you said right at the start?
Yeah, well, I'm telling you.
I know, I'm trying to stop you.
Sizes it up, see?
Yes!
He gives it a try.
Yep.
Eventually, he looks up and he says...
If he says, I can do it, you've seriously missold this story.
No, he says, I can't do it.
Well, I never. Quite the twist.
But he says, I'll show my girlfriend.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I bet she can do it.
I bet she doesn't.
He was that confident she'd be able to do it.
I think his confidence was misplaced.
Well... Next week, he comes back, tail between his legs.
I wonder why.
To tell us...
she couldn't do it.
That's right! She couldn't do it! Well, we were all very surprised.
God, I envy you!
Of course. Then, everyone wanted to try.
No!
Oh, yeah, Sue tried.
Couldn't do it.
Omar tried.
Couldn't do it.
Rianne tried.
Just tell me how many people tried and I'll tell you how many people couldn't do it.
Oh, let me see. First I...
No! Don't start again!
Oh, I'm sorry, Leonard. Am I going on a bit? Well, to cut a long story short... No one could do it. So I thought I'd show it to you.
Yes.
Could you do it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Look.
Oh, well, in that case, you must be the one true King of England.
Thank you, Merlin.
So, what's your line of work, then?
I'm a risk assessor.
Oh, yeah? Interesting job.
Well.
Where'd you get the ideas for new risks?
That's not really...
Is it like lots of brainstorming, or you just like walking down the street and suddenly you go, bloody hell, that could fall on someone?
No, it's more a matter of just using data to assess
okay,
the
OK, here's one for you. Fridges.
Sorry?
Fridges, you know, like when they're dumped or whatever. Kitty might see one right and get in to play at spaceships or whatever and not be able to get out. That's a risk.
Yes, that's true.
You can have that. Impress the boys in the office. Hey, Les, I've assessed a brand new risk.
I actually think I've heard of that one before.
No, you haven't, love. I just made it up, didn't I? Mind your necking.
Right, yes.
No, all I ask is if you do use it, you give me a little credit on the warning label. Don't get in this fridge, you little twerp. It's not a spaceship, based on an original idea by Brent Carter. Something like that. I mean, obviously, you'll have a better idea of the right language than that. And yeah, I suppose if it makes a ton of money from, like, you know, grateful parents or whatever, we'll have a talk. But for now, you can have that.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. I've got loads of them. Don't look at the sun or you'll go blind. That's another. Well, actually, that was my dad's, but he's dead, so... Well, I suppose I inherit that, don't I?
Yes, I suppose you do.
Great. You keep your hands off it then, love. That one's mine. No offence, but I can't give them all away.
Now, boys, you're getting to that age. We need to have a talk.
A talk?
Oh, Dad, no, not the talk.
Yep, we're doing it, so we're strapping.
Dad, you don't need to.
Now then, as you get older, you are going to notice certain changes in your body.
Oh, don't.
Please don't.
We know all this.
No, I don't think you do.
We do, we know. Our voices are going to get deeper, our bodies are going to get hairy.
Hairy? No, they're not. Where'd you get that idea?
Well, I don't know, I just heard it.
There you are, you see, old wise tales. No, this is why you need to have the talk. No, you're not going to get hairy. No, of course not. What's going to happen to you is your tails are going to drop off.
What?
Yep.
Drop off?
Right, so, enjoy it while you can. Its days are numbered.
But what?
Also, you're going to get legs.
Legs?
Back legs first, then front legs.
What are legs?
These things. Also, you're going to get lungs, skeletons, a tongue, and basically you're going to turn into a completely different animal.
A different animal? Like what?
Like me.
You?
Yep. You're going to be frogs, boys. Welcome to the team.
I don't understand.
Well, that's the other thing I think you are old enough to hear now. Boys, you're not adopted.
What?
Your mother and I are not, in fact, a kindly frog couple who came across 25,000 tadpoles in a pond one day and decided to adopt them. You're our kids.
No!
Right, so, try and take it on the chin. Right, off you go, you two, and send the next lot in. And can we maybe do this more than two at a time? The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round all day long. The passengers on the bus go ding, ding, ding. That's my stop, driver, stop. The passengers on the bus go, for God's sake, stop. All day long. The driver at the bus just laughs and laughs. Laughs and laughs, laughs and laughs. The driver of the bus isn't going to stop for anyone. The policeman tailing the bus goes, shoot his tyres. That's my vote, shoot his tyres. His boss back at base goes, don't you dare, there's kids on that bus. The babies on the bus go, wah, 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 wah. For the babies on the bus, it's just another ride on the bus. Ignorance is bliss. The driver's ex-wife's new husband goes, oh, my God, there's Ken's bus on our lawn. The driver's ex-wife's new husband dials 999, but the policeman's already making the arrest. The judge on the bench is stern but fair, stern but fair, stern but fair. The judge on the bench acknowledges the defendant's obvious remorse, but nonetheless, given the distress caused to his passengers, she feels obliged to impose a custodial sentence. 3 months long. The driver in the exercise yard goes round and round, round and round, round and round. The driver in the exercise yard goes round and round, and in a funny way he sort of found his peace.
What'd you do then, mate?
I'm a comedy writer.
Oh, really? What kind of stuff?
I do sort of sketches on the radio.
On the radio? What's the point of that?
I don't know.
OK, here's one. Here's what you should do. Morecambe and Wise.
How do you mean?
What? You've never heard of Morecambe and Wise?
No, no, I have.
Brilliant they were. You want so many ice creams on a fire engine? Huh? Four candles. Yeah, so do them, but on the radio. Huh. I've heard a play. That was another one. Fat legs.
Thanks, yeah, no, good idea, good idea.
Cool. I'll have to be careful what I say around you, won't I? Or I might end up in one of your sketches.
No, no, I'm sure that won't happen. Ask me for a further instalment of my adventures around the world with a horse that thinks it's a cat. I should be delighted to fill you in. However, since you have also asked me, for God's sake, just to tell it slowly in simple words like a normal person, well, I mean, where's the fun in that? I fear I cannot oblige you.
I could do it.
What's it? Who are you?
I am a man who can tell the tale of an old man and his horse in plain words.
All right, then you do it. I'll be me.
That is all any man can be.
That's where you're mistaken. I can also be French and non-specific northern. Go on, then you do it.
He was an old man and he had a horse. The horse did not think it was a horse. It thought it was a cat, but the horse was wrong, as horses often are about such things. It was no cat, this horse. It was a horse.
Yes, I mean, maybe pick up the pace a little bit.
The man thought he was a man, and he was a man, though not so much of a man as he thought he was.
Hey!
The man and the horse had walked across America together, and now they had reached the end of America, and there was nowhere left to walk.
So, Mr. Fluffy Whiskers, now we must cross the sea. We must swim or we must sail. Perhaps it is better that we sail.
The old man had swum with the horse once before, in series 5. It'd been a right old palaver.
Very well, then we shall sail. I shall be the captain, Mr. Floofy Whiskers, and you can be ship's cook. Yes, all right, and ship's cat.
And so the old man and the horse went into the village. The horse went one way to buy tinned corned beef and tinned salmon and tinned oats for the horse and one tin of cat food for the horse's birthday, and also to persuade the village blacksmith to make him a tin opener big enough that it could be used with hooves. And the old man went another way to buy a boat.
Good day, boatbuilder,
said the old man.
I must have a boat today so that I and my horse may sail across the ocean. Have you such a boat?
The boatbuilder was a tall fellow with eyes as blue as the sea and hair as black as the sea at night.
I have one boat,
said the man with one boat.
She is not much, but she is sound and she will do for you and your lady friends.
No, boatbuilder, my horse. With your boat, carry a horse.
The boatbuilder frowned, and the deep lines appeared in his face like deep lines in the sea, if the sea could be furrowed like the land. Oh, wait. The deep lines appeared like deep lines in the land. I must stop thinking everything is like the sea, thought the storyteller. Not everything is like the sea. Some things are, that is certain. Like big lakes and even very big ponds. But some things are different from the sea.
Anyway,
said the old man, and the storyteller remembered who the story was supposed to be about.
Will your boat carry a horse?
No,
said the boat seller, frowning with the deep lines forming in his face like nothing to do with the sea.
Of course not. It's a small fishing skiff. Who ever heard of such a boat carrying a horse?
Very well,
said the old man.
Then I am sorry to have troubled you.
Wait, will you not buy this boat if it will not take a horse?
No.
Why then, of course it will take a horse. I don't know why I said it would not before.
The old man smiles to himself. It was often this way. At first, the wily merchants would try to trick you, but the old man always got the truth from them in the end. The voyage was hard, as such voyages always are, across the Pacific Ocean, in a small fishing skiff with a horse in it. On the ninth day, there was a mighty storm which lashed the sea and carved it into great furrows, like the lines on the face of an irritated boat seller. Oh, thought the storyteller, I was right before. The storm dashed away the sails of the skiff and the tins of food and the mast and the rudder and the thing which swings about and hits you on the head if you're not careful, which, to be honest, the old man was glad to see the back of, but he was not glad to see the back of the other things, for they were necessary for the boat, and without them the boat was hardly a boat at all, but a raft with a brim. After the storm came a great calm.
Strange,
thought the old man.
How often it is that after a storm comes a time when it is not stormy at all. But then if it were not stormy, then it would be stormy. And we would say it was still the storm.
The old man was a better fisherman than he was a philosopher. And he was a terrible fisherman. For 3 days and nights after the storm, he fished with no result. But on the fourth morning, he felt a tug.
It is a fish,
he told the horse.
And a big one, for the pull is very great. A tuna, at least, or a marlin, or a shark, or a whale. What's bigger than a whale?
Just then they discovered what was bigger than a whale, for it breached the waves beneath them.
A submarine!
Indeed. It was a submarine the old man had caught on the hook of his little fishing rod. Joyfully, the old man and the horse rapped on the roof of the submarine.
Good Lord, whatever's that noise?
Well, sir, if I was back in Surrey, I'd say it was an old man and a horse trying to attract our attention. but this is the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so it can't be.
Well, whatever it is, it's damn annoying. Let's dive again and see if that gets rid of it.
Right you are, sir. Have we done what we needed to on the surface, then?
Well, if I'm honest, I've completely forgotten what we came up here for.
All right, then. Down we go.
And so the submarine sank beneath the waves once more, carrying the helpless old man and the horse with it. Said the old man, by which he meant, let's see if we can inch round to one of the portholes and attract their attention. Replied the horse, by which he meant, I don't know what you're saying, but let's inch round to one of the portholes and see if we can attract their attention.
Good Lord, sir.
What?
There, at the porthole, it looks like an old man and a horse.
Oh, well, that's surprising. Well guessed earlier, though.
Thank you, sir.
What do you think they want?
I expect they'd quite like us to let them in, sir.
Well, that's out of the question, I'm afraid. We're under the water now, and you can't open the door once you're underwater because it lets the water in. Teach you that on the first day of submarining school.
Yes, sir. I remember from my first day of submarining school. But we could always pop back up to the surface and let them in.
Oh, no. We can't go straight up to the surface again. We've only just been. We'll look silly.
Sorry, sir, but I think we might have to. Look!
And the nice sailor pointed to the porthole. The nasty sailor looked and saw that behind the underwater old man, the underwater horse was smiling the smile which horses smile when they have spotted that something mentioned earlier in the story is about to pay off at the end of the story. And with gentle menace, the horse brandished his giant tin opener.
John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme was written and performed by John Finnemore, with Margaret Caborn-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Carrie Quinlan. The producer was Ed Morrish and it was a BBC Studios production. The BBC would like to make clear that it is actually dangerous for children to play in abandoned fridges. Copyright Brent Carter 2019, all rights reserved.